healing through carrying the message. Michael, are you on the line?
Hi, this is Michael. I have a desire to be emotionally well.
Good morning. You may share
good
for
morning.
20 to 25 minutes. I will let you know when you have 5 minutes left. Really quick, Michael had given me a little bit of info. He joined EA in 2013 to give his other recovery programs a boost, he says. So EA has become essential a part of his recovery. Michael, I will hand it over to you. Thank you for being here today.
Thank you very much, Kelsey. And it was so nice to hear the voices, some of whom I'm familiar with, and many from other parts of the world. And, you know, I'm glad that people are working this together all over the place. That gives me a lot of hope. So I want to just really try to be positive today for the most part. There were a lot of unpleasant things in my life, you know, that I've faced over the last several years. But this program has, you know, tweaked my emotions to the point where I was pretty well able to deal with what I had to deal with. And I really had a scramble to do that. I was thinking I was just going to talk mainly about the things that I've done since I've that have caused me to be so interested in my emotions. For years and years, I tried to avoid dealing with emotions because I couldn't seem to get anywhere with them, and they didn't make a lot of sense to me. I had been in other 12-step programs where I learned a lot because I was, for example, in substance abuse recovery programs, and I managed to stay sober for over 30 years before I ever saw my first EA meeting. And I came from an alcoholic family. I was involved with a lot of alcoholics for the whole 30-year period. And early on, someone told me that if I wanted to stay sober, I better think about the other fellowship, the Codependence Fellowship of Al-Anon. So that was a good idea. So I actually had 30 years under my belt with those two programs, you know, before I ever started really thinking about dealing with my emotions. And I had a lot of family members at the time that were relapsing. In fact, I suffer from substance abuse disorders, and I have three sons that also do, and a wife who was doing it. And all four people besides myself were relapsing and using drugs all through the period for several years. And then I retired at the end of 2012, and I was looking forward to like having a good retirement, and I just got into all the drug problems just expanded right about the time that I retired. So I was dealing with something that was harder than work all the time, you know, and I really couldn't get it out of my head. And so what happened to me was I was sitting in an Al-Anon meeting, and they were talking about control. And this was before I retired. And I thought, well, yeah, this is the problem. I'm getting over-involved in all of these other people, and I'm burnt out, you know, because of I'm trying to think too much. And then when I do get a chance to react to things, you know, when I got a chance to actually help, I might be blowing up instead and just doing exactly the wrong thing or enabling these people. So I thought to myself, well, why can't I just, why am I doing this control? So the idea came to me after a while that it was because the control thing is like an opiate for the pain of having to feel what it feels like to have your whole family, you know, risking their lives with drugs or just getting into a lot of trouble. And so some of the trouble was that I was afraid they were going to embarrass me. But, you know, when I got past that, I realized that I really did care about them. And, you know, being an addict myself, it was easy enough for me to forget that it is a disease. So it was very strange, you know. I couldn't keep the right perspective. And I thought if I could just feel my emotions a little bit, that I wouldn't be so apt to react to everything. And I would just sort of conserve my energy for when it would be useful to be able to help them. So that was just a very simple idea. And I didn't know anything about Emotions Anonymous at the time, but I was able to feel more of my feelings. And it was a wonderful experience because I didn't overthink things, and I did have enough energy to take care of my business. And I would feel like all of these things were unresolved problems. And somehow or other, I was able to get through it to my retirement. And about at that time, someone told me about Emotions Anonymous. There was a meeting right near where we live in Washington, D.C. So I started going to that meeting and started, you know, I'll tell you, I'm a very addictive personality. So once I get into something, I really tried to get into it as much as I can. So I was, you know, doing all sorts of things with Emotions Anonymous, and it was a very good meeting. There were people with experience there at the meeting, and we were reading the literature, and particularly the pamphlets, the feeling pamphlets. We read those one day a week. One day, you know, it was one day a month we'd read these feeling pamphlets. So after about 2 years of that, I realized that I was getting some real help with depression and anxiety, which had bothered me all of my life. I thought the pamphlets on depression and anxiety were terrific. And what they do is they describe that depression is a result of just not feeling the feelings, and particularly not feeling anger and other feelings, and they just sort of go in the subconscious mind and they create all kinds of problems. And anxiety is just spinning a lot of troubles again and again. So I got the idea that, you know, I'm overthinking things, and what I needed to do is just feel the emotions. So I stopped spinning the unhealthy thoughts. I really tried to stop thinking. I just got the idea of stop thinking and then feel whatever is there. So that really kind of zapped my depression and anxiety. Whenever I would do that, I just try to take time to feel whatever it was. And feelings for me are always like, they're like, I was trying to think about this before the meeting. What is a feeling like? Well, feeling is like getting some sensory data, like things that I can see, smell, touch, hear, or feel. You know, they're sensory data. And you know, there's sort of like a mental state that goes with them too, like good, bad, or pleasant, unpleasant. And now I can identify them, you know, as anxiety states, depression states, depression anxiety states. But it's something in addition to the sensations. And the thing is that if I think I've always unconsciously either wanted to have miserable feelings or wanted to avoid them. But just accepting them there, that they're there, is something that I've never done. So it's kind of involves using my will. And if I can let my will go and just let the feelings happen, I found that they would all usually pass pretty quickly. And a lot of times it would be related to things that happened in the past, that I wasn't really experiencing the present, but I was experiencing things that I'd never processed adequately, never fully felt in the past. So about that time, they were looking for a speaker in Minnesota. So I gave a talk on, you know, what I'd learned to the people. It was in 2015, I came to the annual conference and presented a talk on thinking and the emotions. And by that time, you know, just preparing for that talk helped me a lot. And I found another thing, another way of healing with some other people through a Jesuit priest who had trained in psychology. And he was talking about neuro-linguistic programming and gestalt therapy and Freudian theories. Freud apparently thought that the subconscious was a dangerous place. It couldn't be navigated without a professional therapist because it wasn't safe. It was too overwhelming what would come out of the subconscious mind. And then some other psychologist believed in gestalt therapy, which meant that we can handle whatever comes out of the subconscious mind, you know, because it's coming up at an appropriate time. And there's so that was a positive spin. And I had had these, you know, I'd had these emotional reactions that God only knows where they came from. I had a life of trauma, and I had a lot of experience with these types of PTSD states. So I was very interested in what he was saying. And he would keep telling the whole group, and it was mostly therapists that were involved in it. And he did a lot of therapy with us individually in these like hypnotic sessions where he would bring up these things from the past, and he'd like, he'd have us imagining that we were seeing scenes that were terrifying to us as children, and we were watching movies of it, and we were able to, you know, change the movie, put it in reverse, do things with it so we'd be able to handle it. And he brought people through a lot of really tough stuff there, including me. And he was constantly saying that, you know, we're not feeling our feelings, you're in your head. And it just drove me crazy. And I was trying to tell him about 12-step programs and Emotions Anonymous and how much it meant to me. And, you know, he said that that was just a bunch of intellectualizing. So I really didn't like that, you know, and I couldn't seem to convince him. And I brought some of the talk because he said one of the things to do to handle strong emotions is to break them down into minute parts, like just break this, you know, break what we hear down into very small elements, and so it can be digested. And that was called submodalities. But it's a way of slowing things down. And then he said, I asked him, you know, at the end of his course, what would the best thing to do to make progress in the techniques that he'd given us? And he said, Vipassana meditation. So just And, you know, gradually since then, I've tried to spend more and more time meditating. And it is a way, for me, it's a way of seeing that, you know, that I'm I can survive whatever comes out there. I've got enough space to survive whatever comes out of my emotions. And I believe that now, and I believe the emotions can be very good. You know, they're all good, and they can be handled with the techniques, with the spiritual program of EA. And so then a few years later, the people in Minnesota asked me to join an editorial committee on the Awakening Workbook. And that went on for like, we met for, I don't know, we were on the phone and meeting for several months, almost every week, and we were we were trying to draft the language of the workbook, and it was really exciting because I met people that were really into their emotions, and we would get into arguments about, you know, wording and so on, and it was one of, you know, it was difficult, but it was one of the best experiences in my life because we all really wanted to put together something that would be useful to people. And while we would have disagreements about the language, we were really together, and we learned how to communicate because we would talk about our feelings. You know, we would talk about how we were feeling when we were having these disagreements. So that led me to believe that the feelings, you know, are really essential in conflict situations. It's important to understand my feelings. It's important to understand other people's feelings and to give respect to the feelings and to listen to people, not just the words, but the tone of voice. And to, we didn't have Zoom then, so I couldn't tell about the body language. But I think it's very important to allow people to have feelings. So, you know, that was very good for me. And I've tried to organize local things, you know, to apply the emotions to particular things. And I just wanted to say something about something that was very exciting. I had a big problem with being a clutterer, and I just couldn't get it under control. And someone at the local meetings thought that that could be emotionally based. So we started working on the pamphlets about the clutter habit. There were a bunch of people there that had the clutter addiction, and we worked on that, and we were using these pamphlets, anxiety, perfectionism, shame, and fear, and we were just working on trying to declutter. And so one of the things about decluttering were there were these exercises that you would apply that would get you into the present, cleaning up a small part of the space, looking for things that were out of order. And I found that if I practiced that, that was the perfect thing to avoid thinking about all my alcoholic relatives. You know, it would get me centered and into the present. And it actually, I was able to see that certain resentments about things that had happened in my life had led me to keep things around from the past to remind me of these unpleasant incidents. And after I was able to clear off my resentments, I was able to clean up my house too. So it was like a weight, a material weight that represented the resentment. It was the strangest thing, but now I'm much lighter, and, you know, I never would have believed that clutter was related to all these emotional problems, and particularly resentments about things that had happened in the past. And I resented myself too for some of the ways that this came out, and I resented God. So I worked very hard on making amends to God. And then I saw that there were things that happened to me when I was a child, like being bullied, that I couldn't get any relief out of. And I was able to see that, you know, I was reciprocating and kind to the people that were bullying me. And I just didn't, when I made amends to God, I was able to see that. And the pain of being bullied just, I thought that would never come out. You know, that would never heal. And so that healed. And it was part of this, you know, I just forgot that God was there. People were talking about God, but for whatever reason, I had a resentment that God wasn't going to help me with this bullying, and why bother to ask him? But anyway, yes.
5 minutes left.
Okay, so I'll just sum up really quickly. All of my alcoholics somehow are in recovery programs now. It's just beyond my belief. And my wife and I have a good relationship going. All the boys are out of the house. I thought that they'd never leave the house, and I'd be stuck with them forever. You know, I've just had miracles, and I would have never really believed it. There were so many days and so many unresolved problems, and I was just able to live through it one day at a time. And I'm so grateful to this program. And I'm grateful to people in other programs too, because, you know, I've just been able, because of these 12-step programs, I've been able to experience things and be happier about myself and other people and the whole world than I could have ever believed. I mean, it really doesn't make sense, but I believe it's possible for my emotions to be healthier, and rather than disconnect me from people, to connect me. And I like to do things with the workbook, and I try to start, you know, Zoom meetings. I've got a Zoom meeting at 10:30 Eastern time on the Awakening Workbook on steps 1, steps 3, 6, 7, and 11. And I'd love to have people join me on that. I think that's about it for me. I've tried to do whatever I can in EA, and the blessings have been way beyond anything that I ever imagined. I'm thinking now that I may have a good formula for working through PTSD. And so anyway, that's it. That's really it for me. Thanks for allowing me to share. I appreciate the committee and all those responsible for this program today. Thank you very much for letting me share.
Thank you, Michael. Thank you so much for sharing today. Is there a topic?